turn to the book of Psalms. Wonder if I was going to preach from a psalm this morning, which I would preach from. Well, you know it. I've been reading almost daily the 103rd Psalm. I want you to hear it this morning. You can follow along with me and be on the screen. It'll be easier for me to see it that way anyway. And we'll look at what it says. And we're going to talk about his benefits. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. To such as keep his commandments, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works and all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise be unto God for the reading and the hearing of his precious and of his eternal word. Praise God for the truth of the gospel. I have to tell you something, folks. You go out to get a job. What do you ask? What do you talk to the man about? Well, you talk to him about how much you're going to get paid. What's the salary going to be? How many hours am I going to get? How much work am I going to get? Now, when I first started looking for a job and first started working, that was about the extent of what we said to him. Would you hire me? Would you let me work? How much are you going to pay me? That was it. We wanted to know. But as time goes on, you find out there's some more important things to a job than just the raw salary. You say, what's that? It's the benefits. It makes a difference if you have insurance. It makes a difference if you have retirement. It makes a difference the processes of negotiation that you can go through to advance in the job. All of those things matter, and those are benefits of the job. Well, we're trusting in God. We're reaching out to God for his love and his grace and his salvation. And we say, hallelujah. Yes, I'll agree. It's the best fire insurance that you could ever get anywhere. It's the only insurance policy that I know of that will spare you from the fire in the end. Any other insurance policy is just going to burn up with the rest of the world when it burns up. But this policy, my friend, that he has is the best insurance policy that you can get anywhere. There's not anybody, not Metropolitan Life, not New York Life, not Mutual of Omaha, not anybody has a policy that will blunt the fire of hell. But the policy that's taken down in the blood of Jesus Christ, my friend, can blot out the fires of hell and set you free, not only for now, but for eternity. So there are the blessings, and this is what the psalmist is talking about. Bless the Lord, O my soul, for what? All of the benefits. And if you look through the 22 verses of the 103rd Psalm, you discover these wonderful, wonderful benefits that are there. Number one, he forgives us our sins. Wow. Just like that. You say, but you don't know what I've done. It don't matter. I don't need to know what all you've done. I don't need to know any of that. You can come up and shake my hand and he won't save you one bit. You can come up here and confess to me and that's fine, but it won't save you one bit. But my friend, you can go to the living God and confess your sins and ask him for forgiveness, and he will mark your docket clean. Isn't that wonderful? Every once in a while through the years, I've had someone come in to pay a bill at the funeral home or one of the stores, and they come up to the front and they say, I've come to pay all my bill. I'm sorry I'm having such a hard time. I'm sorry I can't pay more. You know, all those things that goes on. One lady came and said one day, said, Brother Eddie, we're going to go bankrupt and bankrupt you. But I wanted to tell you. And then she said, we'll try to pay you. And she did. She paid every month. One lady said one day, said, well, my husband's going on strike on the railroad. And you know, we won't have any money coming in for weeks till the strike's over. And you know, there was that bill, that heaviness hanging over them. But every once in a while, they've come in and I've been able to reach over the counter and hand them a receipt because someone had come in, unbeknownst to them. Someone had come in when nobody was looking and handed me the money, and we wiped out their account and it wasn't there anymore. We had one lady some time back, and she was truly a mountain lady, and truly she had difficulties financially and all that. And she got down and she owed one payment. And Rick looked at me and I shook my head. Mark it off. It's gone. It's not there anymore. And you say, well, what's so remarkable about that, my friend? You remember that song? There was a time on earth when in the books of heaven an old account was standing of sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top and many things below, but I went unto the keeper and has settled long ago. Long ago, long ago, the old account was settled long ago. And my record's clear today. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. And my record's clear today, for he washed my sins away. And the old account was settled long ago. Oh, sinner, seek the Lord. Repent of all your sins. For thus he has commanded if you would enter in. Oh, my friend, let me tell you today, you say, I've got a great burden of sin. I'm carried. Those girls used to do that dancing up.
Silent praise.
And those girls always impressed me, carrying them big burdens on their back across the pulpit here as they dance. Well, I have to tell you, folks, that's the way it is. We came to Jesus with a great burden of sin on our backs, a great load of guilt and shame from the sin we committed on us. And you say, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? How am I going to get rid of this? And you say, well, the Lord will forgive you. And you say, well, I don't know about that. I did pretty bad. I said some bad things. Did you do any worse than the Apostle Paul did? Did you do any worse than dragging Christians out of the house and beating them and putting them in jail and killing them, stoning them to death? Did you do any worse than that? He said, I am the chiefest among sinners. But you know what? Did you hear what the psalm said? He not only forgives us our sins, He removes our sins. They're gone. They're not there anymore. You say, how can I stand before God on that day? I can stand before God on that day, my friend, because I don't have any sins. And you say, oh, you're perfect. No, I'm not perfect. I'm far from it. I'm weak and weary and all kinds of things. Yes, get discouraged and upset and all the things. Whatever you do, I do. I mean, there's no use talking. We're not any of us immune to it. We all have weak points and strong points and all kinds of things like that. But the psalmist said, bless the Lord, O my soul, for He does what? He forgives all my iniquities and removes them as far away as the east is from the west, and they never meet. The east and the west never meet, my friend. It's impossible for them to meet. And as I stand and look out, He lifts that burden of sin off of the weight of the person, and He removes them away, and He throws them into the sea of forgetfulness to remember Him no more against you. And He redeems your soul from destruction. And you know what? He has not dealt with us according to our sins. Think about it. If we had to come before God and we had to deal with Him sin by sin, it would be exhausting, wouldn't it? We never would get through the judgment. Oh, my friend, wouldn't it be terrible? Wouldn't it be a terrible thing after all these years to stand before God? And I've heard this preached. Oh, I've heard this preached so hard, and preachers would be so mean with it. One thing will keep you out of the kingdom of God. Just one little sin that you haven't repented. If you forgot to repent of one little sin, God's going to take and throw you away. I heard a preacher preaching that one day, and I knew the preacher's life, and he's preaching one thing. If you just got one thing left that you didn't make right, hey, who's doing the saving here? Our works or His grace? My friend, when I go to Him and I say, God, I am a sinner. I'm lost and undone without God. Would You forgive me of all of my sins? I don't have to sit down and say, well, on August the 7th, 1947, I threw up on somebody because I was a baby. I don't have to say, well, let's see, how many times did I lust in my mind? All the men sit down, keep your mouths closed. Don't say a word. How many times did I tell a lie in my life? How many times did I do this or that or the other? And sit down and count all that out, and then stand before God and say, now God, we got to reckon with this. Let me tell you something. When I went unto the keeper and settled long ago, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, trickled down Calvary's cross and made a flood through the world and filled a fountain with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. The old hymn says, my friend, and God took my sins and cast them away as far as the east is from the west. Glory to God. Mahasanda. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. He's not dealt with us. If He did, my friend, you'd have to stand before Him in the day of judgment and go through a checkout list, and all the sins you hadn't repented of, you'd go to hell for. Let me ask you something. Nobody'd go to heaven. There's not a person in this room, nor in the listening audience on the radio or CD. My friend, there's not a person hearing me deliver this message that has a perfect record. There's nobody that could remember everything that they've done wrong. We know we were sinners. We confess that we were sinners, and we ask Him to forgive us, and He does forgive us. And my friend, He doesn't deal with us according to our sins. He just redeems us from among men, draws us from the path of destruction, and sets our feet on the solid rock, my friend, and forgives us of all of our sins. Hallelujah. And He deals with us according to His disposition. Now, that's a precarious thing in this world, because I've seen some crooked judges. I've seen some dishonest witnesses. I've seen some policemen stand in front of a court and swear a lie And we've all seen those things. I've seen people go, and my friend, you cannot be sure. I'm thankful for the justice system of America. But let me tell you, my friend, if you go to Parisburg, or the Supreme Court for that matter, and you have to stand before those judges, you're standing before a bunch of people that's just as fallible and weak as you are. And you're standing before a bunch of people that cannot always know and do the truth. And my friend, you're never really guaranteed justice and clearance in this world. But my friend, because sometimes the judge comes in and he just got up on the wrong side of the bed and had a bad hair day. And his hormones might have been out of shape, or her shape, as the case may be, and feels bad. And so his reaction to the testimony you give and his reaction to what's going on out there is not fair. How many of you can remember a case somewhere in your life in somebody that went before the court and you didn't feel like they got justice? Sure, we've all seen that. Everybody has seen that. Let me tell you something. The wonderful thing is, when I stand before God and I stand before his judgment every day, I stand before him continuously, my friend. And let me tell you something, his disposition has never changed. I don't have to worry about in the morning if I have to stand before God, and I may have to for eternity before morning. Nobody knows that but him. And I may have to stand before him, but my friend, when I stand before him, I don't have to say, well, I hope God's not on a tear today. Oh, my friend, let me tell you something. He's the same every day. He never changes. His disposition never changes. He says, I am the Lord God and I change not. What does it say about him in the psalm here? It says he's merciful. Merciful. And gracious. And slow to anger. And does not hold grudges. Whoa! Hallelujah! Said he will not. When I first read this scripture, I misunderstood it. Said he will not always chide with man, and he will not always hold his anger. So I was thinking, God's just waiting to get us. Well, that's the way God was portrayed to me when I got saved, that God was standing up there at the throne, and he had lightning bolts in his hand and thunderclaps in his hand, and he was just waiting to catch me breaking the rules. I didn't have to do no great, terrible sin. I just had to break the rules. And if I broke the rules, then God's going to zap me, boy. I'll get that Kindle, boy. Let me tell you something. That's not God. That's a human conception of God. That's not God. God is what? He's merciful. Lord, if I could teach more people to be gracious. Oh, we don't need to be hateful in life, folks. We don't need to be hateful and short-tempered and all that in life. He's merciful, he's gracious, he's slow to anger, and he does not chide. God is not going to be growling and fussing at you forever. God loves your soul, and God's intention, has God ever visited you? Has God ever touched your life? Has God ever reached out to you and you felt that he was drawing you? My friend, he did not save you to lose you. He did not save you to give up on you. He did not save you to forget you. God loves your eternal soul, and God wants to spend eternity with you. You're his child. Hallelujah. His disposition. You say, well, how far does this go? Well, I'll tell you how far it goes. I've told you this story before, but I'll tell you again. That's the trouble with having an old preacher. You've got to hear the same stories more than once. Or twice, or three times. But you know the story. I was on the hill above Daddy's house with a scythe, cutting brush and weeds. And as I was cutting brush and weeds up on the side of the hill, our middle child, Demetria, was coming out of my daddy's basement. And as she came out of the basement, there was a little step up there. She couldn't negotiate the step and the door and all of it at the same time. And so the door slammed shut on his little hand. And mashed his hand. I heard her scream up on the hill, and I threw the scythe down, leaped over the hill through the brush and the briars and down across the yard. And when I got to the door of the basement, I scooped that little girl up in my arms And I kissed away the pain and the scaredness of her hand, and I held her and ran through the yard to take care of her. And as I went, I heard the voice of the Holy Ghost say in my heart, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. You say, I've sinned, Brother Eddie. I've done some awful things. My friend, he's waiting just for the moment that he can run down off of the hills of glory. And he wants to reach down and take you in his arms and love you with his love. He wants to wipe away your sins and take away your iniquities, that, my friend, you will not have to spend an eternity in hell, but you can spend eternity with him on streets of gold, yes, and inside of walls of jasper and all that. But, my friend, the whole idea is to spend eternity in his presence. In his presence, seeing the face of God. My friend, we face a terrible, daunting task as we go through this life. And you say, well, she shouldn't have got her hand caught in the door. She oughtn't have been down there. That's true. Probably shouldn't have been down there in the daddy's basement. And she probably should have watched the door when she pulled it and got her hand caught. There's a whole lot of things she probably shouldn't have done that day. But let me tell you something, my friend. She's my little girl. And I love her. And I don't care whether she wasn't as careful as she should have been or not. I still want to do away with the pain. I still want to do away with the suffering, my friend. And you know what it goes on to say? As the father pities his children, so the Lord pities him and fear him. Then he remembers our frame and that we are what? Dust. He remembers that our life, we don't have eternity to get ready to meet God in, folks. You only have a little speck of universal time to get right with God. You don't have eternity. Eternity's out there. Eternity's waiting on you. But my friend, you do not have eternity to get ready to meet God in. You have got just a little bit of time. And he says that. He doesn't deal with us according to our sins, but he is our Father and he loves us for that. And he remembers that we're made out of dust. And he remembers that his mercy is forever. But us, we're just like a plant that grew up in the morning and a hot south wind blew over it and killed it and took it down before evening. We only have a little bit of time. My friend, you may not realize it when you're 20. I didn't. But I can tell you today I am extremely conscious of the brevity of time. I am extremely conscious that the time is short. You say for the coming of the Lord? Oh yeah, that too. But I'm talking about my time. I'm talking about my time. And your time, my friend, is short. How many of us in here are 50 years old or older? Okay. Come back in 10 years and this congregation won't be here. Hello, you say, that's discouraging. No, it's a fact. And it's a fact that you need to put down in your heart and life that you are not eternal, my friend. You have a little space in all of time and eternity to live and to die and to be right with God. And God is aware of that. See, that's the good thing. God is aware of that. And the other thing is this. The chimes of time ring out the news, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Oh, was that someone you? And it goes on to say all those wonderful things. And then it says, it is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With his arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. Stuart Hammond wrote that song. He was a radio cowboy, had a singing variety show on national radio back in the day. Billy Graham came in a big tent, put that tent up in Los Angeles, and sometime in one of those nights, Stuart Hamlin went out there, and in that meeting met the Lord Jesus Christ. He couldn't go to sleep that night. He was up all night. But when the next morning came, those words to that song, "It Is No Secret What God Can Do," had been written down. And he sang it on the radio show in the morning. My friend, the good thing is, God has made known to us, God has made known to us what he did for Moses. If you read all that in there, what he did for others. God has not kept it a secret, but he sent us his word, the Holy Bible. And God has shared with us that it's not a secret that God loves us. It's not a secret that God wants to be with us. But God has sent us word that we can know his ways, that we can know who he is and what he's doing. And I like this part of the psalm so much. He's got cake and candy and icing. He's got the very best tasty things that you want to taste in the world. You said, does it say in there? Yeah, it says he fills my mouth with good things. He fills my mouth with good things. He heals my diseases. And he's not stingy with it. Read it. He's not stingy with it. He uses terms like pour out. He uses terms that reminds us that there's no end to it. You know, the trouble with having a box of goodies is that somewhere or another you use them up, don't you? All those good boxes of good stuff that they made Christmas. Somebody ate the last chocolate. Somebody got the last handful of Chex Mix or whatever you had. Somebody drank the last custard. Somebody got the end to it. There's always an end to it, isn't there? It always stops, but not God's. The good things of God is that he's not stingy. He pours out. It's from everlasting to everlasting, and he renews our covenant. You see, his mercies are new every morning. This means something more to me than it ever did. Eddie, hold your son up so we can see him. That's my grandson. And you know what the psalmist says? It said, these good things that he's give us, Earl, where is that pretty little boy and girl that I saw on the seat a while ago? You know what it says in there? It says to our children's children. The good things. I think about my grandma Marshall. And she got saved, well, in the holiness way. She had been touched by God at times in her life before. But she got into the way when the coming here preaching the gospel and the Holy Ghost was falling on her. And it was Christmas Day, 1932, on Christmas Day. My grandmother happened to be at Fern's grandmother's house out here on the hill. The house is gone now. And they were praying. Isn't that a good way to spend Christmas? They were praying for the Holy Ghost, Jenny. It was your great-grandmother. And as they prayed, Uncle Paul and Aunt Ruby and them had gone across the river and was having a meeting in Bluff City. Now that seems like a faraway place, doesn't it, Bluff City? You know, you say it's just over there, yes, but not in those days. In those days you had to go all the way to Narris and cross the river and come back to get to Bluff City. So we had a meeting over there in Bluff City and they had a meeting over here. And on Christmas Day, 1932, my grandmother received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Spirit of God came down on her and raised her up. She came out prophesying in tongues with the interpretation thereof. My friend, And you know what? He filled her mouth with good things. And I got to eat them. I used to remember when I was a kid, I always looked forward to Mother's Day and Easter. You say why? Because Uncle Ansel always sent Grandma a box of Whitman's chocolates for Christmas, for Easter and for Mother's Day. And you say, what was the good of that, sending it to your grandmother? Because all them candy-coated almonds and stuff that was in there were mine. It hit me a while back, watching Grant play, that I would never see him graduate, that I would never see him grown. It's true. It's something you have to think about, folks. He likes to come to my bedroom, and he's just going to remember Pawpaw sleeping. That's all he's going to remember. But he puts his finger over his little mouth and goes, shh. So we'd be quiet and not wake Pawpaw up. But my friend, I will never see him graduated or anything like that, because we'll be gone before that happens. You say, well, what about it? The good things that he's put in my mouth to eat, he gets to eat them. He gets the box of chocolates. He gets the candy. Odessa's boys down in North Carolina, they get to eat the box of chocolates. I won't get to finish the box off, but they will get to. And they'll enjoy it just as much as I did. Amen. And you say, do you think all this can happen even to our grandchildren? Did you read what he said? He said, he is on the throne, and he is in charge of all of his host. He is in charge of all of his angels. And he has in his control all of his dominions everywhere. You know what he said to the patriarchs of old? He said, I am God Almighty. I'm so sad that the number one cuss word in this country, other than hell and damn, seems to be a word, oh my God. They don't know who they're talking about. They don't know who they're talking to. Let me tell you something. God said, I am God Almighty. Nobody has any might but him. There's none but him. He is the only one. And my friend, God Almighty is going to guarantee that the good things that I have left in the chocolate box, our little ones get to eat them one day. Our little ones get to eat them. And he has guaranteed that when I close my eyes in this world, that in the world to come, I can open them up and look at the glory of God. I think how many times Brother Mooney wanted y'all to sing that song, because his mother had died when he was young, and he didn't have a home to go to like other people did. And he hoboed, and he remembered going by on a train and seeing the lights of home up there. And when he got saved, it was a fulfillment of that to him. He got the light for himself. Today he's in the presence of God, and everything's all right, and he has a home. My friend, I don't know what kind of contract you think the Lord's got with you, but he's given you his word. His word what? That he'll forgive your sins, that he'll not deal with you from a standpoint of being hateful and mean, that he'll love you like a father, that he'll share with you the blessings of the good things of God, and that he is God Almighty. We used to have a lady preacher come here from Logan with her people. Some of you old enough to remember her name was Goldie. Napper. And all her people dressed exactly like, they all wore black skirts and white blouses, and they were very talented. They had great percussion and melody and harmony and all that kind of thing. Goldie could play anything. She had a sister like that too. And Goldie would play and sing. Kids, I can remember Charlie and them, Pete maybe used into that. They never said Sister Goldie. When they saw her, they said, Almighty God. Because she sang a song. Almighty God, won't you hold me in the hollow of your hand? And my friend, let me tell you something. Take the word of this old preacher and the word of the Holy Scriptures. He is God Almighty. And he is able to bring this to pass and to bring you to the place that you can be in his presence. We may never get all we want in this world. We may not get to see everything we want to see in this world. But my friend, I guarantee you that God Almighty, through the blood of his Son, will take you home to heaven when it's over. Father, I thank you so much for your blessings. Thank you for your mercies and for your grace and for the fellowship of your Spirit. I thank you that you redeemed us and kept us and brought us to the living hope that we have in Christ. Father, I thank you for the words of David that we have been able to share this morning from the Psalm. And I pray, Almighty God, that your Spirit, your power, and your grace will go with us and keep us this day and every day through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.